Well, I want to thank you guys for welcoming me and my family back this year. This is our eighth summer. I'm at Greystone, being the camp minister, and I just want to introduce my family quickly. My wife, Margaret Ann, I was a camper here and a counselor, and we have two children, Mary Gray, who is 8 years old, and our son, Sam, is five, and we actually have another child on the way in October, a little boy. So we're very excited to have another member of the future men's staff and kitchen staff to come and be a part of that. We are so thrilled to be back at Greystone. We're thrilled to be able to share these times in the morning with you, opening up God's Word and hearing from Him, and the times we'll spend together on Sundays, worshiping and enjoying the Sabbath together. And I just want you to know that it is an honor, and we're very thankful to be here. We're thrilled to be here. Thank you for welcoming us so well, and please don't hesitate to come up and introduce yourselves. We love to make as many new friends as we can. Yesterday morning, Libby gave us such a wonderful devotion. She reminded us, as she does every year, of the heart of the big story of the Bible, that God has made these promises to us to bring about a solution to the brokenness and the hurt and the sin that we all feel so deeply. And she reminded us that the Old Testament tells us that someone's coming, the New Testament tells us that someone's here, and that someone's coming again to make all things right. And so it's such a beautiful, timely encouragement to open up the scriptures, to read them, to memorize them, to pray them, to hold them dear. And so this morning, I just want to connect with that and to sort of set the scene for what we're going to be doing in morning assemblies for the rest of this session together. And I want to, I guess, begin with a question. Today is June 29th, 2011. I want to ask you what you were doing 3 months ago today, April 29th, 2011. You guys remember that far back? Chances are you skipped school, or you had your mom and dad set the DVR so you could watch something very important happening. There was a royal wedding. That's right.
That's right.
And on that royal wedding, on that Friday morning, you guys might remember all of the media coverage. You might remember seeing the hats. You remember Princess Caroline's hat that looked like someone had just kind of stapled a big flower on her head. And you remember the horse-drawn carriages, and you remember Kate's dress, and you remember William's uniform, and you remember all the trumpeters and the choirs in Westminster Abbey decked out so beautifully. You remember the guest list, and who got to sit where, and who was not invited, and who was invited. And you remember all the soldiers and the security. You remember hearing about Prince Harry's big party he was going to throw afterwards. You remember all of that. But I want to remind you, in the very midst of all that beauty and all that ceremony and all that preparation and all the hype and all the coverage, something very simple happened between two people. They stood up in front of everyone, and really the whole world, and they exchanged promises to each other. At the heart of a wedding ceremony is not the dress, it's not the beauty, it's not the flowers, but it's two people standing up and giving promises to each other. I know that because I was married myself. The best day of my life, August 8th, 1998, Margaret Ann and I in Jacksonville, Florida, exchanged promises. She said that she would love me no matter what, and then she gave me a ring that I get to wear on my finger as a sign of her promise to me. So if I'm having a bad day and doubting whether or not I'm lovable, all I have to do is turn the ring on my finger and remember, oh, someone has made promises to me. If I feel like I've exhausted her patience, as I do quite often, and she's getting ready to be done with me, I just have to turn the ring on my finger and say, someone made promises to me. At the heart of a wedding ceremony is promises. And I want to say this morning, very simply, that the heart of Christianity is a big promise. Sometimes with all the devotionals and denominations and questions and conferences and t-shirts and slogans and verses, it's sometimes easy to get overshadowed that the heart of Christianity is God's big promise to us. He says it all throughout Scripture, I will be your God, and I'll make you into my people. What makes Christianity unique out of all the faiths on the face of the planet is this, that God is a faithful promiser. At the heart of Christianity is not a bunch of hoops you got to jump through to prove your worthiness of God's affection. At the heart of Christianity is not a whole bunch of a list of things you've got to do and avoid and accomplish to maintain God's affection. At the heart of Christianity is not your performance, but it's God's promise. I was driving around the area a couple days ago, and I saw a billboard on a church, a sign out in front of a church that really made me a little bit mad. It said, If you are merciful, God will be merciful to you. And it made me mad because I said, oh, no. You've got it exactly the opposite way. It's not my mercy that qualifies me for God's mercy. It's His mercy to me that enables me to be merciful to other people. So simply, faith, the Christian faith, is believing in, trusting in, resting in God's big promises, not our promise to Him. I want to point you to a verse from Scripture that says it so beautifully. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, Peter's trying to describe for a church the heart of Christianity. He says this. He says, God has granted to us His precious and very great promises. He's given to us His precious and very great promises. Peter's saying God puts His wedding ring on our finger so that we can remember that all of God's promises are kept in Jesus going to the cross and raising victoriously again from the dead and rising from the grave. So what do you do with that? I want to spend this session together recovering that heart of Christianity with you guys, going back to the promises of God. And we can put them on our fingers like wedding rings, and we can turn them when we're having a bad day or we're wondering, are we lovable? Are we redeemable? Is He fed up with us? Have we done too much to exhaust His patience? And so you can turn these promises on your fingers and say, no, it's not my performance, it's God's promise to me. There's another verse in Hebrews chapter 10 that says it like this. It says, let us hold fast to our profession because He who promised us is faithful. Again, let's turn that billboard around. God is merciful to us so that we can actually be merciful. God has made promises to us so we can actually keep our promises to live faithfully for Him. Turn that ring on your finger and remember God is a faithful promiser to you. So we're going to look at about 12 promises together this session. And what I want you to do with them is I want you to memorize them. I want you to write them down. I want you to wear them almost like a ring on your finger. To share them with your friends. To share them with your family. To stand upon them. And then to pray them back to God. Because He is, He has, and He will continue to keep His precious and very great promises to us. I want to close with a verse from Psalm 119 that shows us how to use these promises from God. The psalmist is writing this poem to God, and he says, God, remember Your word to Your servant. It gives me hope. This is my comfort in hard times, that Your promise gives me life. So take these promises this summer, that God is a faithful promiser. Turn them on your finger like a wedding ring. Remember them, and then pray them back to God and say, remember Your promise. Remember what You promised to do and who You promised to be, so that we can live faithfully here. Let me pray for us this morning as we get going. Father in heaven, we thank You that You do bind our wandering hearts to You with the fetters of Your promises. We pray that since You've kept them in Jesus, You've given us every assurance that You're not fed up, that we haven't done too much, we haven't walked too far away, but You bind us to You. You've interposed Your precious blood to make us right with You. We pray, Lord Jesus, that today those promises would help us to hold fast and to be faithful to You because You've been so faithful to us. We pray it all in Your name. Amen.